This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're watching Rangers baseball here in Surprise, where Marcus Semien just made a diving play to his right. Look routine. Got the third out. Tamps down a thread here from the Royals in the third inning. It is 7-3 Royals here. Leody Taveras with the three-run shot. Kamar Rocker was just working on some stuff in the first inning. Wanted to show he could command the strike zone, and he did. And Royals hitters punished him a little bit for that, Brian.
Wanted to show that he commanded the strike zone and just see how hard the exit velocity could be at the plate. I think they barreled up some stuff on him today, man.
They did.
That has to be. Saw him making the long walk between innings from the clubhouse to, from the dugout to the clubhouse. And, you know, just that body language. If you're one of those folks that reads that stuff, I mean, he really disappointed. You know, you could tell that. That he wanted to come out today and have an inning.
But
the Royals, the one thing they do is they barrel up some pitches now.
They did.
Man,
did a nice job.
They are a good hitting club right now. So
we got Corey Seager in the batter's box down there. We do. We have Corey Seager in the box against Harvey for the Royals. As the third inning continues, it's time now for Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day, buddy.
All right, let's start with some of the breaking reports coming out of the Combine. And we've got Bengals executive Duke Tobin saying he's optimistic Cincinnati can keep both T. Higgins, and his preference is to do a long-term deal. Also said, in regards to Ja'Marr Chase, he's going to be the highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL once his deal gets done. He said, quote, we're not trying to insult anybody. So,
yeah,
that report of Chase getting probably $40 million a year, that makes some sense coming from Cincinnati. We'll see exactly what they're able to do with T. Higgins. I mean, A.J. Brown's making 32. Devontae Smith is making 25. They're probably going to have to go a little bit more for both T. Higgins and Chase. If Chase is making 40, I don't know. I mean, what's the ballpark range for Higgins? Is it 28? Is it 30? But Cincinnati certainly going to have to make some decisions on how to keep their core intact, and that doesn't even include Trey Hendrickson. So I'm excited to see that number for Ja'Marr Chase. Good thing Cowboys got that CeeDee Lamb deal done last year, so they don't have to worry about that. Speaking of quarterbacks, Teteroa McMillan, we're going to get to a mock draft here in just a moment, but according to Albert Breer, he is saying that Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, my wide receiver one, could fall out of the top 10. Quote, the more teams have dug into supersized Arizona prospect Teteroa McMillan, the more seems to have slipped going from a surefire top 10 guy into the middle of the first round. I'm calling bull bleep on this report, and I trust Albert Breer, but this is smokescreen season. Teteroa McMillan has no business falling out of the top 10, and if he falls to number 12 and the Cowboys pass on him, I would be, one, stunned, and two, the league done bleeped up, because Tet McMillan next to CeeDee Lamb is going to be a problem for a long time.
This guy is, when you watch him play, there's just so much. Here's this long, rangy, runs with great, the smoothness that he plays with, the route-running ability. I mean, if you want to watch him, you know, if you really, really like, you know, Travis Hunter as a corner, watch Travis Hunter play against him and watch him just spin Travis Hunter all over the place and catch the ball. And, I mean, to me, if they're questioning things about this kid, it might be maybe a little bit about his speed. But, man, his tape is just really, really good overall.
And as you watch the tape, like, you know, the speed's going to be – I'm not expecting him to run well. But the bottom line is he finds ways to get open.
He's not a slow guy, though. He's
deceptively quick. Like, yeah. He's football fast, yeah. Right? He's not going to run an elite 40 time compared to other wide receivers in the class. Like, Luther Burden will probably run a blazing time compared to him. But to me, there's no question the catch radius, the smoothness, the way he works intermediate, deep ball as well. I think he's – very much like a Mike Evans type to me. 6'5", maybe not as fast as Mike Evans. Mike Evans was a 4.4 speed type of dude. He's not quite as fast, but the way he's able to make plays down the field, contested catches, that's my comp for Tet McMillan would be a Mike Evans.
You know, I see some Dez in there because of the catch radius, and when he gets the ball, he's elusive. He can make guys miss, and he's more physical than a lot of wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super physical.
Yeah.
You guys have Travis Hunter as your number one receiver.
He's my number two behind Tet.
Okay, so Tet is your number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got Hunter as the number one corner.
Okay.
But I do think, and I know people were talking, like we had some players around the league were asked, like, hey, what would you do with Travis Hunter? And most of them did say corner. Some did say wide receiver. But I do think you got to play this guy on both sides of the football if you're able to. I mean, Darius Slayton said cornerback. They asked a bunch of Giant players because right now he's kind of being mocked in that range where maybe he makes it to the Giants. Malik Nabers said both ways. I want him playing with me if he's on my team as a receiver and as a DB. So you got to find a way to make a package for him on offense if you're going to play him as a corner.
Yeah, I do wonder how much better he's going to be at whatever position that he kind of zeroes in on more. Because, I mean, the dude was playing 90-plus snaps on both sides of the ball.
Right, absolutely.
So how much did that hurt him? You know, if he's a full-time receiver and then you sprinkle him in on defense or vice versa, how much better does he get at his full-time position because he's not as taxed as he's been throughout his collegiate career?
I agree with you 100%.
I want to try to see if he can handle both because he's so young and might have elite energy levels. Like, some players can just tap in and play fresh. So I want to try it because the team taking him needs multiple good players and he's a chance to kill two birds with one stone if he can handle it. Corner and wide receiver aren't typically the most physical positions either. It's not like you're taking monster hits.
Don't forget the returning ability there, Gavin.
Well,
don't forget the returning ability.
Might steer clear of that.
No, you should. He didn't actually return any kicks at Colorado, so we're not going to do the returning thing. Commanders have given two-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jonathan Allen permission to seek a trade, according to the Associated Press. Now, there are some connections with your Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders, and they've made trades within the division before, specifically draft day trades. Hell, Cowboys traded with the Eagles as Devontae Smith went and got drafted by Philly a few years ago. Interdivision trades, not unheard of, and if you listen to Stephen Jones yesterday, he did specifically bring up the trade market. Cowboys in need of a defensive tackle. Do I think this is likely? Hell no, I don't. Would I love this to happen? Hell yes, I would. Jonathan Allen is weakening a division rival, and then he's also helping you out in a massive position of need. Now, you'll have to figure out exactly how to work this contract. He's going into the final season of a 4-year, $72 million extension, so this would be kind of a 1-year rental. His salary cap hit is more than $22 million. Is there a way Washington eats some of that? He's 30 years old. Do they end up getting a deal done with him to keep him around here long-term, whoever trades for him? But I would love to see the Cowboys try and get in the mix here for a Jonathan Allen.
Yeah, I mean, better player than Osa, probably. A little bit older, probably 3 or 4 years older.
Yeah.
They need great players. If that's the way you do it, I guess I'd be surprised if you gave up something of significance for him. Like, I'm not trying to give up a day one or day two pick. It seems like Washington might be done with him.
Yeah, I mean, he could just be a cap casualty. And if that's the case, maybe you can offer 1 year fives. I don't know if that gets the job done or not. But I'd pick up the phone and call, be like, DQ, what's up here, man? You're our guy. Can we get some business done? I kind of set draft Twitter ablaze earlier today. I figured it's a toxic
nice
Tuesday.
What'd you do?
Let's go ahead and do this. So I was just conspiracy theory this thing, all right? So yesterday, Steven says Cowboys looking at a quarterback. in the draft. And today I saw Quinn Ewers. He is going to throw an inning.
Ooh, I saw that tweet. Yeah, that was good work.
He's also been working in DFW with former Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy's telling NFL media that he's been impressed with Ewers as a young man and his attentiveness. Now, I think some people took this in a completely crazy direction, which is not surprising when it comes to Twitter and social media. This would not be 12 overall. This would not be 44 overall. Hell, in my opinion, this wouldn't be 76 overall. If the Cowboys were to do this, it's one of their 3 fifth-round picks. Now, does Quinn make it to the fifth round? I don't know. I think he's probably an early day three guy, fourth-round dude. But if Quinn Ewers is there in the fifth round, we know he's got all the physical traits that you really look for. As a backup guy that you can kind of develop and mold, I would not mind the homegrown South Lake Carroll Dragon, Texas Longhorn. If you're going to take a flyer on some of these quarterbacks, you could do worse than Quinn in this year's draft class.
Yeah, you could. And I think the fifth round's the right spot for him, or the fourth. I think I saw so much just inaccuracy or bad decision making, lack of pocket presence. I just think it's a massive journey, and maybe that's the right time to take with Dak 4 years left on his contract, because I think it would take multiple years for this guy to have a shot of a pro career.
And obviously, he's not starting for you, so you know he's going to sit behind Dak, learn and grow,
and rush.
Maybe he's your third string guy, 100%. I mean, we don't know. We know Trey Lance isn't coming back. Maybe they do bring back Cooper Rush. Now, here's your latest mocky mock for Mel Kiper today. He's got Abdul Carter going number one to Tennessee, Cam Ward's going two to Cleveland, Travis Hunter does go to your Giants. Now, when you get to the Cowboys pick here, Ashton Gentry's going six overall to Las Vegas Raiders. So Gentry's not available. Shedeur Sanders goes seven to the Jets. You get to the Cowboys pick at number 12, and right ahead of them, Will Johnson, corner out of Michigan, goes to the 49ers, and Josh Simmons, who we believe is the top offensive tackle in the draft, goes to the Bears at number 10. So Cowboys on the clock at 12, and who does Mel Kiper have them taking?
Well, I'm glad Genty's off the board, so we don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. Let's go get a premium position.
That premium position would be Omarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina.
Unbelievable.
Mel Kiper says, I've talked to people in the NFL who have Genty and Hampton neck and neck for RB1, and there are even some who prefer Hampton. And I look at Dallas's decision to hire Shoddy as coach and can't help but think about his father, Marty, and all of those run-heavy offenses he had over 21 seasons. But to jumpstart the run game, Dallas actually needs a legit back. Rico was decent, but he's a free agent. Likely they want an upgrade there. Plus, this team has been known to use early picks on a runner. Hampton, he says, is a home run hitter who had 1,600 yards, 15 rushing touchdowns in 2024. I don't know that I would necessarily say home run hitter for Omarion
Hampton. He's DeMarco Murray.
That's who he is to me.
I mean, his running style is that where his feet really don't come off the ground. He's kind of a shuffler.
Yes.
The feet, DeMarco Murray, it's like you kind of find the hole, get through the hole, the one-cut runner, get up the field, get fetched. Dan Johnson from Iowa, I think, is a better player.
I like Caleb Johnson more. Now, the one thing that I will say, and I'll give myself a pat on the back, this is not surprising to me. I've been worried about this. I'm not into Omarion Hampton going here 12 to the Cowboys. Tet McMillan is still on the board, who I just talked about, and he's got Tet sliding all the way to 22 to the Chargers. I'm taking Teteroa McMillan at 12
over Hampton. And Daniel Jeremiah did it last week, too. He had 19. He had Tampa taking McMillan. I find it hard to believe that he would get all the way down there.
Yeah, me too. I don't think that's happening. I think this is just the scuttlebutt that's going around there at the combine, and this is just fake news. But I do think you're going to see these running backs fly off the board in this draft. And to assume that you're going to have one of these guys at 44, whether it's Hampton, whether it's Johnson, whether it's Henderson from Ohio State, I think all of these guys are going to end up going much higher than, say, like Eric, if you were the GM of these teams, that you would take them. I think the NFL is starting to teeter back to, hey, running back, we're not paying them a ton of money, second-round picks, even first-round contracts. We compare them with some of the other guys that have gotten paid now, the Barkleys of the world. And I can get a lot of value out of those dudes in the first contract. I get it from the sense of, if I'm drafting that back, I'm probably aware I'm not giving them a second contract. Mm-hmm. So from a first-round pick, you'd like to get a guy that you're getting on a second contract. 100% understood. But in a draft where, as I've said, you're kind of navigating minefields here, it's very likely not only the safest, but maybe the best player on some of these teams' board will be one of those running backs. And I'm worried who's going to still be there when the Cowboys are on the clock at 44.
Two running backs in the top 12 would be pretty amazing. I guess we saw it with Robinson and Gibbs, but that would definitely be a huge frustration if the Cowboys actually went that route. But it's interesting that there are teams that view Hampton in a similar class as Genty.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I look at just the advanced metrics on stuff of just like how he is as a pass catcher and the broken tackles and stuff like that, Genty is far superior.
Yeah, I think it's Ashton Genty, then there's a gap, and then we've got Caleb Johnson and Omarion Hamilton.
Okay, I do want to ask you guys, like, what is wrong with Scataboo?
Nothing's wrong with
because
him.
Because when I look at some of the, and I'm just looking at the numbers, like he pops up on a lot of these as a guy who has a high percentage of 10-plus yard runs, as a guy who breaks a buttload of tackles, a guy who catches the ball well out of the backfield. His yards per route run is up there with some of the best in this draft class when it comes to running backs and of draft classes past when it comes to running backs. So I just look at Scataboo and I'm like, what's wrong with him? You take Scataboo in the third round. Why is that? I feel like that's a guy who's a damn good player.
Yeah, he is. I just view him maybe at the NFL level more of a complimentary back. I don't know that, like, I would give the keys to my backfield to Genty, to Hampton, to Caleb Johnson, and probably to Travion Henderson as well. And then after that, I'd be looking at if I draft one of those guys, say at 76, whether it's Shudkins from Ohio State or Scataboo, I'd be looking at also adding another back with one of those fifth-round picks. So now I've got a 1-2 tandem, which I'm okay with doing
because
it's a deep running back class. But I don't know that he's a guy. I mean, you even saw in that Peach Bowl against Texas, and granted, he was their offense. If he was not on the field for Arizona State, they were in a world of hurt. But he's tapping himself out of the game. Like, he's physically exhausted. I don't know if he can go through the grind of a full 17-game season, the wear and tear of being an every-down back. I think he's a complimentary back at the next level.
I think these three cone drills and some of these big agility drills at the combine will be massive for him, because the critique has been he just lacks the elite speed and agility to maybe make guys miss at the next level like he has in college.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the zone running aspect to him, remember Isaiah Spiller?
Mm-hmm.
This guy reminds me of when you start to talk about, now if you're comfortable with a guy like Isaiah Spiller and what
he's a backup running back.
Yeah, and how he played. To me, that's the thing that's really, I think, the quality of this guy. I think he catches the ball extremely well. That's where I think that's where I kind of feel like, though, that if you're going to take him, the running style, sure, physical, one cut, but more about him catching the ball than anything. I mean, they line him up wide as a receiver and stuff like that. So, but I think Zach's right about you know having somebody to kind of to split time with him. But if you like Isaiah Spiller, who's with the Chargers, that's what this guy's like.
One of my favorite shows of the entire year is that Friday after the first round, before the second round. You have the first round to react to. You're talking about what you're going to do, who's the best players available. And, you know, hopefully there's a number of exciting running backs. Like, to hear the comparison of Hampton and Genty, mm-hmm. Like, wow, is that another home run for the Royals? Putting it on you. I think that's going to make it 11-3 Kansas City here in the top of the fourth inning. But that's exciting, you know, that level of player possibly also being in the draft. I feel like the Cowboys do need a home run hitter. They need a great running back if they want to have a chance of contending next year. The running game's going to have to be one of the best in the NFL. Take that pressure off of Dak and the defense. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. The C-note, what's Steve say about Luka? And what does the Hall of Fame coach Pete Carroll say about the shoddy hire? That's coming up next, live and surprise. It's the G-Back Nation on the Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's the 3-2 to Witt Jr., the payoff pitch fouled back against the screen here at Surprise Stadium. It's the G-Bag Nation where the Royals lead the Rangers. It's 11-3 in the fourth inning. The young, hard-throwing right-hander Santos towing the rubber for your Texas Rangers. It's time for the C-note here, but it's fun to have Bobby Witt Jr. in the batter's box down there. Some geezer Royals fan just said, "Hit one out, Bobby, for me."
Yeah. Come on, Junior.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the same people we're having breakfast with down there at the Free at the hotel, you know?
Yes.
They're sitting there, and they're trying to guess the lineup, and their wife is looking at him like,
"Yeah,
just stop it, psycho guy."
Yes.
I bet you today we'll see. He's just going through the
Sometimes
lineup.
The wife's the more passionate one, though. Oh, I mean, you can really see baseball as America's pastime in the eyes of some of these folks. Yeah. And it's great, really. I mean, there's a lot of young people here, too. Got to be at least a dozen or two of them. But it really is amazing to be here and surprise and check out this ball club. And, you know, just taking it all in. I learned last night at dinner, Jared Sandler does not even keep score during the game during the first week of spring training, and not a lot of announcers do because it's just chaos with all the new players coming in and nothing really matters about
this.
This
would be a good one to not keep the score of.
Yeah.
Well, Jared's now standing up in the box as I look over there, and it's like him and Hicksy are going. They're having a problem. Something, you know, I mean, like Jared is having a big problem with stuff going on there.
Well, this guy can't find the strike zone. When he does, it's barreled. You know, I think that's maybe
It's tough. You're facing a really good Royals lineup, as this is the home park of both the Rangers and Royals. So both teams have put a lot of their stars out there today. It's been a lot of fun. Time for the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, Thursday at 3:30, Schottenheimer is going to take the podium. It's always cool when you get the head coaches talking at the combine, and 3:30 right there at this time. 48 hours from now, we'll be getting ready to hear from Schottie and kind of what he has to say about these prospects and the Cowboys team needs and all of that. The biggest story of the day of Cowboys relevance by far is this report from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, that the Eagles are looking at the Commanders' pursuit of Myles Garrett and thinking maybe we want to come in there with an offer that Cleveland cannot refuse, make sure the Commanders don't get him and make us that much better. I guess that would mean Zach Bond and Milton Williams would be gone from their defensive line. Those are a couple of free agent defensive linemen that they have. I can't assume they'd keep everybody and add Myles Garrett, so... You know, but dang, that would be a massive type of impact player that on every snap you have to account for.
Yeah, I think this would be Josh Sweat, their young stud edge rusher, moving on in free agency, and then them going ahead and replacing him with maybe the best defensive player in all of football. And it's absolutely on the table for a team like that, because they've proven it time and time again. They will do whatever it takes to get as much talent in the building as possible. So if you're an Eagles player, the Micah Parsons of the Eagles, who's clamoring to bring a guy like Myles Garrett to town, you actually have a leg to stand on. You can have some hope, because that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Great tweet from Andrew Siciliano, NFL announcer, as this thing broke across NFL Twitter about 2 hours ago. He put out the now legendary quote from Roseman: never feel like we have enough offensive linemen or defensive linemen. And, you know, I think it'd be wise to take note of that as you're team building against them here in this division. You got five fire with fire.
Yeah, I think the defensive line is where you got to go here. I was looking at some of the free agent offensive linemen, and the Cowboys have plenty of bodies on the O-line, young guys that they're hoping take another step. If you want to go in free agency and try and replace Zach Martin, I think Will Hernandez from the Cardinals, who worked with Clayton Adams, is a guy that wouldn't be overly expensive, but he's a guy that is off his best season, and he did it in a Cardinals uniform, and now you can reunite with Clayton Adams here in Dallas. I think that would be a guy that you don't have to break the bank for, but he's immediate plug and play, better than Hoffman. He replaces Zach Martin, and now you feel like, okay, we've done at least something to add to our offensive line. And then in the draft, I think you've got to pepper the D tackles and maybe an edge rusher.
Yeah, Will Hernandez, it does make a lot of sense, because Clayton Adams revitalized his career.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bust with the Giants. I liked him a lot out of UTEP, coming out big, nasty, physical blocker, just didn't pan out. And then he gets with Clayton Adams in Arizona, and now all of a sudden he's one of the better free agent linemen on the market.
Yeah, and it's always just nice to have a guy who understands what it is that the coaches are trying to implement here. I think BB will have some of that with mm-hmm. Connor Riley coming from K-State, but having a guy like Will Hernandez, it's like, hey, I've been there, I've done that, I understand what he wants, and just having that guy in the room as a veteran. And this is a young offensive line for the Cowboys.
Okay, next headline here. Stephen Jones asked about the Mavericks fans and their reaction to the Luka trade and all that. And he said, I don't want to comment on the Mavs, but it got interesting. He said, I understand. I want our fans to be emotional, and I want them to care. Certainly the record we had last year and our postseason lack of success, I understand that completely. I want them to be emotional about that, and we have to be better. I think that's significantly different from, what was that, the Senior Bowl comments or the Schottenheimer hiring press conference comments when he was talking about the perceived drought they were in. And I think they're wisely pivoting here with their public approach. Number one, they're not signaling, hey, we got to take free agency off. They're talking about being selectively aggressive. And let's maybe not say or suggest that what we've been doing is good enough. Now, we'll find out if they can actually follow that with action, but I think maybe this is their new guy that took Rich's job, Tad, over there, saying, guys, we're going in a bad direction, telling everybody free agency is coming. Don't get your hopes up. And by the way, we think what we've been doing is good enough. That was really T-Twist and fans. And I think, you know, making more apathy. So now we got to see if they're going to actually throw some money at it and try to rebuild at least a playoff team. I think this is a critical juncture here for this football team, because the way that they failed at the drafts, and if they don't spend, they might end up going like Packers playoff loss, which was devastating for fan morale, miss playoffs. You miss the playoffs a couple of more times, and I think we could be talking about a legitimate, you know, loss of the great passion and volume that we've had, with, I guess, the one of the exhibits in my argument being Oxnard last year. And I'm sure the tickets are going to sell. As long as the national media makes as big a deal about the Cowboys as they do. But if you stack together losing seasons, like, your grip on irrelevance isn't there, and I think they need a playoff season here.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you can't, especially with what your division is doing and the way they're going about it and how aggressive they're being, and they're giving you the blueprint right in front of you, and it becomes very, very obvious. If you're not prioritizing winning, you can see what other teams are doing to get themselves where they want to go. So you've got to get with the program on how to win right now in the league.
Yeah, and I feel like the Cowboys, whenever they come up on a significant windfall financially, they take that money and invest it in something else. I think that's why Jerry had such a problem spending the couple hundred million dollars on that yacht for his wife, was because he saw that couple hundred million dollars as investment capital for oil and gas or real estate or whatever sort of business that he and his family want to pursue. The Eagles, the Niners, the Giants are looking at the equity in their football team and saying, this is our path to having the cash flow that we could use to sign additional players and try to go for it right now. So if that becomes what the rest of the league is doing, and you are sitting that out because you look at all of your liquidity as investment capital instead of a way to make your football team better, I mean, that's a significant disadvantage. Pete Carroll on Brian Schottenheimer. He's ready. He's been waiting for this opportunity for a number of years. He's been ready for some time. This was Pete Carroll on the Raiders podium, as apparently the Seattle Seahawks beat writers took it over with a ton of questions reflecting on his time with Seattle and now with the Raiders, but also quite a few questions about Brian Schottenheimer as well. They're talking about, you know, Jerry Jones calling Shoddy, and I think you have to keep your fingers crossed that Schottenheimer does enough to impress us on the outside and them internally over the next couple of years, that if they get the drafts right and if they get things about team building right, that you could, you know, potentially have a really good coach, even though the rest of the league didn't think he deserved that opportunity, even though, like, he's been knocking on the doorstep for what, at least 10 years?
Yeah.
51, 52 years old, something like that?
Yeah, I think Eric just made a really good point, though, and we were talking about that there's a pressure. There's a pressure with the way that you now have to operate within your own division.
Yeah.
You know, Howie's been aggressive, but then now you get Howie a world championship, you know, and I think that makes him even more aggressive. You know, the Commanders, new ownership, new coach, the quarterback situation the way it is. Now you're going to have to deal with them. You know, if Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones continue to operate the way that they do, this organization is not going to ever be back to the playoffs and stuff like that. You know, you're not going to sniff the division title, you know, competing if you're not willing to do the things that the Eagles and the Commanders are. They've changed the game for you. You can't continue on and just be good at one of the three, the drafting part. You've got to fight fire with fire here. And if you don't, you and the Giants are going to be afterthoughts, and you're going to be picking 12 every year, you know, and you're really not going to be talked about at all. Yeah. Like, oh, we're talking about the Cowboys again here when they're 7-10 or 6-11. No. Hell no.
Yeah, they're a Giants quarterback away from maybe being the worst team in their own division.
And no question.
And they 8-1-7. I really want to know why y'all think they should be competing this year. Eagles are looking like a young dynasty. Commanders have all the money in the world and a cheap quarterback. This is the Cowboys' time to take a back seat for 2 years, right? I'd agree, but they paid Dak Prescott. You don't pay your quarterback as the highest paid player in the history of the sport and then double down and pay wide receiver one, and then you're regressing for 2 years. They aren't carrying themselves, and I've said this before, as a team that is in any type of rebuild.
Yeah.
They have evaluated that Dak Prescott is their franchise quarterback still. They're paying him like he's one of the top quarterbacks in the sport. They've got to go out and make the most of it and put the best team around him. Otherwise, that's just been a waste of money, and maybe some fans already are assuming it will be, but it's going to be another one of those conversations. If they go status quo, we'll be saying that was another contract that they gave up. It's paying a guy for a third time that's not returning any investment for them.
They have violated rule one of team building, misevaluating your own team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that's where... You know, where, again, that's, hey, they probably look at it as, oh, heck, we don't want to go through the wilderness again without a quarterback, even though this team could have moved on from its coach and it could have moved on from its quarterback.
Yeah.
And completely restarted this thing.
You know? You still have it. If you bring back Lewis, you still have three good corners and a good pass rusher and a couple of good young linebackers, two good young offensive linemen at least, a quarterback, a wide receiver. Like, you have enough that if you threw money at this, you could contend.
Absolutely.
Like, and I think that's what a lot of teams would do in this same situation. Krusty's Corners coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, what does the league think about this draft? We've got some ideas, and we'll talk about those next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We're watching Rangers and Royals here. Live in Surprise. Thanks for making us part of your day here on your home of the 2023 World Series champions. Bobby Corella's coming up at 4 o'clock. It's a Beat LA Tuesday here in the nation. Lakers and Mavs tonight. What is that, a 9 o'clock tip back in DFW? We'll be gathering over at Sands' spring training house to take this in. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. Reached out during the break to some of my, Gang of Seven guys. I was curious, did we ever determine what the going price would be for Myles Garrett? Did we ever say what we thought that people would ask or what they would be willing to give for him?
I'm guessing, especially if it's a team like the Eagles picking dead balls last of the first round,
yeah.
I'm guessing it would be 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, actually, it's really cool because my guys are all at the combine right now. So
oh,
they're just
course,
all
perfect.
They're all sitting around. It seems like consensus is a 1 and a 2.
Hmm.
Is not the 2 first-round picks, but a a first rounder and then a second rounder. And I, you need
so
to
so they
figure
consider
out,
a 1 on this situation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess you have to factor in the player's age and the fact that you still have to pay him.
Right.
A new deal.
Right. So, yeah, I was just curious because, I mean, like, I was thinking, like, along the lines with Eric.
Right, 2 ones.
2 ones.
I figure that's probably what Cleveland wants.
But, yeah, there were 4 of my guys got back to me, and everybody was 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
I mean, if you could give up 12 this year and a 2 next year, I'd be very interested in doing that.
Yeah, I think you're on to something right there. Another thing from last night's dinner, I had a question. Have you guys ever had an experience where, like, the people in the kitchen were impressed by what you actually consumed at dinner?
I don't think
and
I've
they,
ever
and
seen
they
that.
Gave you a dessert, like, as a prize, like a trophy. Like, they said, you, my friend, are amazing. We're going to give you a full-on brownie with ice cream as a thank you for being such a gluttonous eater.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I've never experienced that.
It was the first time for me as well. I was impressed with their hospitality, and I think they were impressed. They probably never seen somebody do the triple stack. If I knew it was going to be patties that thick, I don't know that I would have gone with the triple there. But I was hungry enough to punish it without any problems. I basically had beer for lunch yesterday, brought us thanks
yeah,
to you,
sure,
and that was fantastic. And so I was pretty dang. I was like, you have the shakes because you're so hungry.
You were famished a little bit?
And it was like, I could have gone with Ruben for a second dinner after that, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
it was good. They had the jalapeno cream cheese on there and a poblano aioli. And my only regret is not asking for more of that on the burger because the ratios got a little wonky with three patties.
Yeah, that's a lot of beef.
So that's just normally a one patty meal, a one patty burger?
It's a one patty burger. Yeah, and the guy was like, what, do you want to throw a second one on there? I was like, honestly? Well, because again, this was me making up for my mistake at the airport the other day when I didn't add the extra patty. So I was like, I'm not taking any chances on this. Triple it up. I know I'm good for it no matter how big this thing is.
I was just kind of wondering because, like, you mentioned yesterday that the whole thing with, like, the patty thing was bothering you.
Yeah.
But you just totally took it a whole nother direction.
The meat and the protein is never an issue. Like, I would bet on you to consume all the meat possible.
Yeah.
It's when you mix in the bread, the carbs. That's what we saw during the Waffle House challenge with the waffles.
Yes.
That's what will end up screwing you over. But if it's just straight up burger patties or
wings or something.
Yeah. That's not even a fair ballgame.
The most impressive thing, though, was how you unhinged your jaw to
get
that over the top.
I'll be honest with you. When I looked back at the video, I surprised even myself with that one. I didn't realize just how big I had to go for that bite.
Yeah.
But I was pretty proud of myself.
I mean, there was like, if they could have taken your picture and put it on the wall.
They should have.
And like one of our most distinguished guests ever.
Yeah.
I think you would have been, they were lining up. They were like taking peeks outside the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, that's the dude.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were just like, man, it's like, hey, we got to see this guy. He's a legend. You know, we got to go out there and
shook a lot of hands, kissed a lot of babies after that.
Yeah, I got you.
That's good for the resume.
All right. What are scouts saying about this draft class? This comes from us from our friends over at ESPN. And they talked to some general managers, some scouts, some player personnel dudes, guys and gals, and they've got some thoughts here. And I don't know if you guys have seen this at all, but I'm going to run through a couple of them. Saying, what are scouts saying about this class? There are, and this is from one NFL general manager. Says there are four, maybe five blue chip players. Wolchek, I kind of think we're on that, right? Kind of,
yes.
You know, four or five blue chip players. After that, it's 40 guys with late first round or second round grades. That's pretty good assessment right there. The scouts view the 2025 class as light on future all pros, but strong on starters. Quote, you're going to see a ton of rookie starters from this class because it's such an experienced group. That's from an AFC South area scout. I kind of feel like that's the same. I feel like I'm still looking at those COVID guys, like the 5 and 6 year players, where we got a lot of guys that had a lot of experience. I mean, there's a lot of, especially these now with the playoffs, there's a lot of guys that have played in big games, a lot of big game experience there. But I think they're right on that about the number of rookie starters you can probably get. This class appears to be lacking high-end, can't-miss prospects, seen as future stars, such as Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. last year. It has fewer players ranked high based purely on potential. As an AFC East area scout put it, player number 15 on your board might have the same grade as player number 50.
Yeah, it's tough to differentiate when you get into the second and third with some of these guys, especially like the D tackles and some of those positions, you are kind of looking at like, there's like certain traits you like more, like with the edge rushers, right? You got some of these guys like a JTT out of Ohio State, solid, steady player, does everything well, but doesn't necessarily have the twitchy bend that you want from a pure edge rusher that can get double-digit sacks. Maybe you want more of a Princely from Ole Miss, right, who has some of that good first-step quickness. So it's just basically how all these teams evaluate them. How do they fit their specific defense? Same thing with these corners. Some of these guys fit better with the zone scheme than a man scheme, I think, specifically as well.
What position groups have scouts excited? Eric, you like to hear this. The running back class is a chance to be special.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I do like to hear this. It's deep. You don't have to go at the top.
As six backs have at least a second round grade in many of the preseason combine rankings, talking to scouts, there's also some depth. Quote, if you can't find a starting running back in this year, you're really just not trying. That's from an NFC West area scout. There'll be starters coming out of rounds 5, 6, and 7.
Wow.
I mean, I've got down to fifth round running backs, but I haven't got down to any 6th or 7th round running backs for sure. They also like the the defensive line group.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a great defensive line class.
And the scouts are saying edge Abdul Carter anchors the class, followed by Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham and Georgia edge Jalen Walker. There are 31 defensive linemen in the top 100, according to Matt Miller here. So 31 of 100. It's the, he said it's the most I've ever had in a group. One general manager said that a third of the first round might be edge rushers and defensive tackles. What do you think about that, Wolchuk?
I agree. I mean, I think the defensive tackle class right there with running back, deepest group, period. And there are a lot now. There are a lot of edges that I think I'd be excited about as deep as probably the third, maybe even fourth round. Now, the Cowboys don't have a fourth rounder. They have four or five, so maybe they move up or decide they want to get aggressive at the top of day three. But I do agree with this assessment. I think this is an excellent write-up.
Is there any reason, and I'll leave with this one, is there any reason for somebody to trade up if your grades 15 and 50 are the same guy?
No.
So are we hoping for a trade back, or do you just need to stand there and make a pick at 12 because you're probably not going to get value for your pick going back?
Yeah, I'm always going to be hopeful that I can trade back and some team just gets a little antsy about maybe a particular position that they feel like they've got to get something like that. But you're right, it's probably less likely this year than in most that a team's going to want to jump up unless some guy falls out of the top 10 that nobody expected.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. We're going to get Bobby Carilla, All-City Dallas, talking Mavs with you as it's Luka Lakers and Mavs night here coming up at 9 o'clock in DFW. We're back live in surprise on 105.3 The Fan.